The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools. They shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job. You have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew chapter 11, 2 to 15, the gospel lesson that was just read. The sermon title is, Are You Offended by Jesus? You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you offended by Jesus? Are you embarrassed to let people know that you associate with him on a regular basis? That's here on Sunday morning. Do you cringe when strangers discover you talking to Jesus in prayer or listening to him in his written word? Is your relationship with Jesus one of those things that you'd rather keep quiet in polite or important company? Now, I think I know almost all of you here today think you would say that you're not embarrassed about your relationship with Jesus. I think most of you would say that even if you don't talk with him about him with strangers, you would not deny that you believe in him if you were asked. So I think most of you would say, no, I'm not offended by Jesus. And that's a good thing. Praise the Lord for that. If you lived in the days of Jesus, I wonder if you would have been offended by Jesus. Many people were. Most of the people of the day were expecting a Messiah with a little more power, a little more wealth, a little more influence, or a little more something. He seemed, well, just too common on the surface if you didn't know about his miracles or consider his teaching. That's why Jesus said in our gospel lesson, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Now let's put Jesus into the 21st century and see what you think. Let's imagine that Jesus is a construction worker in the hill country of West Virginia. Mary is a coal miner's daughter, and that's no relation to the recently deceased Loretta Lynn. Their son Jesus works in the mine sometimes when there's work. Other times he works with his dad in construction when there's work. Well, guess what? Right now there's not a whole lot of work because coal is considered a major cause of climate change. So where are the jobs? They're gone. So guess what? Jesus moved to San Mateo, where a lot of businesses are hiring. You'll see the signs on doors everywhere. We want you to work for us. And they can't find employees to do the jobs that they need. Again, this is an imaginary exercise, but during the day, you might see Jesus working at the counter and grill at the Burger King at 28th and El Camino, right down the street. On Sunday, Jesus joins us at Grace for the discussion in Bible class and here at church. In a Bible class, he amazes us all, including me, with his knowledge of the scriptures. He has the Bible completely memorized, as if he wrote it, in Hebrew and Chaldee and Greek and Latin, oh, well, also German and English, Tagalog, Chinese, and many other languages. This guy should have been in the diplomatic service or something. And he joins us for worship in this space. Now, you won't be able to tell by looking at him that he's anything special. He's not dressed like he was 2,000 years ago. He's dressed like you. He's dressed neatly, but not in anything fancy or expensive. And he's polite, and he smiles, and he has conversation, drinks coffee, and otherwise he's just a normal guy. Now, if you follow Jesus around during the week, You might be surprised at everything he does besides flipping burgers. He visits the inmates at the Palo Alto Veterans Administration Hospital to give them a little cheer, and they could use it. On one occasion, I heard about this, there was a big ruckus as an inmate started screaming and carrying on. When the guards came, the inmate looked them straight in the eyes and said, perfectly lucidly, "I'm ready to leave now." And when they tested him, they were amazed to find out he was right, perfectly in his own sane mind. And he was one of the ones that Jesus visited. Jesus visits the residents at nursing homes and senior living centers just to talk to those folks. Well, maybe he does more than just talk. Sometimes after he visits with residents in wheelchairs, they get up and start walking. They pack their stuff and go home. Sometimes after he visits blind people in the nursing home, they are found the next day walking down the hallway and looking at the paintings, they were blind. Sometimes after he visits folks who've lost their hearing, they start talking to their neighbors the next day as if there was nothing wrong. And there isn't anymore. Jesus visits patients in hospitals at Kaiser in Redwood City, at Sutter in Burlingame, at San Mateo Medical Center on 39th Avenue. And those are just the local ones that we hear about. Now, Jesus doesn't visit everyone. Nobody knows how or why he chooses the people that he visits. Everyone he visits are touched in some way by his words and presence. Some of them in the hospital are released the next day. Others have the courage to accept the diagnosis of the doctor. All have stories of the wonderful time they had in visiting with Jesus. Now, for all these things, Jesus would seem to be a wonderful addition to the community. But there's one thing that might bother you about Jesus. Even though he accepts any social invitation, he mostly associates with people, you know, other side of the tracks. They're poor. And he even lives in that part of town. You kind of get the impression that he prefers to be with the poor. Oh, he doesn't say that. Most think he associates with the poor because that's the type of folk that he grew up with. And people, when they listen to his lectures, he talks mostly about his kingdom. Now, the mayor, the board of supervisors, some of the leaders of this community are worried that Jesus might be spending time with the poor folks for something that might be like a labor strike or demonstration. He keeps promising the poor folks a better day. Oh, wait, isn't that what politicians do? But what does Jesus have to offer them? He's not wealthy. He doesn't own a business. He isn't making friends with the important people in town. All of his talk is just going to raise expectations that can't be met, and then what? Well, who does this Jesus think he is anyway? And that's how things were that year. It's about 30 AD when John the Baptist was arrested and carried off to prison. What you just heard about Jesus is what John heard through the grapevine of his disciples and friends. Now, Jesus, you see, did not start his ministry until John was gone. He was away in prison. So John didn't get to see Jesus doing all these things except for the day of his baptism. So what was John to think? He is there when he baptized his cousin. He saw the Holy Spirit come down out of heaven in the form of a dove. He heard the Father's voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So John was expecting great things. But what John got instead was a bunch of rumors. word-of-mouth rumors about miracles, and gossip about how Jesus spent all his time with the poor, with people with disabilities and chronic health issues, and with prostitutes. John was thinking that Jesus would be making a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Somehow he had a vision that this would happen. But he didn't see anything like that. John hoped, personally, that Jesus would demand that King Herod release his cousin. That's John the Baptist. But instead, Jesus was spending his time with the poor, the disabled, and those prostitutes. Who did Jesus think he was anyway? And so Jesus said, for John's benefit and ours, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. The truth is, there are a lot of people in this world who are offended by Jesus. Johann Wolfgang Goethe was thought to be the most intelligent man of his day, early 19th century Germany. He was a polymath, a scientist, a poet, a dramatist, and many other things. The Goethe Institute of America is named after him. But Goethe was no lover of Jesus. In fact, in one of his writings, Goethe said he hated Christ and Christians. Jesus and his disciples are too lowly for high intellects and highly cultured people like Goethe. Friedrich Nietzsche was another German who hated Christ and Christians. Nietzsche thought Christianity was a religion for slaves, not for enlightened and cultured people like the Germans in the Biedermeier era. Many people today in the arts, in the sciences, in the universities, in the media, and the upper echelons of society are offended at the religion of Jesus. Have you been watching the news? They scorn fundamentalists, traditional Catholics, and conservative Protestants who accept the Bible as being God's word. They think that they are backwards and uncultured, and that's just the beginning. They are, in other words, offended by people like you and me. At various times in its history, Christianity has been accepted by the proud, the rich, the cultured, and the intellectuals of this world. But I have to say, here in America, I don't think that's the case anymore. Now, this religion of Jesus is not complicated. It is the hope of something better in heaven for those who believe in him. It is the good works of Christ, both his own good works and his suffering and death on the cross, offered to the divine judge for those who know that their own good works don't pass muster. It is the forgiveness of sins for those who need lots of forgiveness. And it's a doctrine of humility in the form of repentance for those who already have lots to be humble about. Are you offended by Jesus? Blessed are you if you're not offended by the lowly appearance of God's one and only Son. In his name, amen.